Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One set of issues that St. Augustine is grappling with in City of God, Book 11, has to do with what we could call the metaphysics of creation. And this has to do as well with space and time. And he is pointing out some, what in his view are, mistaken understandings of the relationship between God and the created world and space and time. So he begins by talking about this biblical passage coming from Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. And there's a really interesting little disquisition here that fits in with his notion of Christian philosophy. He says that God made the world. We can believe from no one more safely than from God himself. But where have we heard him? From the Holy Scriptures. And then we get this passage. And then he says, yeah, but was the prophet there at the beginning when God created the heavens and earth? And this is a conundrum that people raise. And he says, no, of course he wasn't. But the prophet receives this divine wisdom from God. So he says, the wisdom of God, by whom all things were made, was there, and wisdom insinuates itself in holy souls, makes them the friends of God and the prophets, and noiselessly informs them of his works, which means that it informs them with something like an intellectual communication. Right? And we can put that aside for the moment, because then he immediately goes to this conundrum that is being raised. Well, if God created the heavens and earth, and that means that God created the entire world, and indeed the entire universe, the cosmos, why did he do it then? Why did he do it right then? Why did God choose that point in time to create things? Why didn't he do it earlier? Why didn't he do it later? What Augustine is probing here is the intelligibility of the divine creation of everything else that is not God. He's saying, what's the reason? And this is indeed a question that people ask. He considers this in the Confessions as well, where he makes a joke about it, which you can find in there. But here he considers a few solutions that in his view aren't really solutions. So one solution is to say, well, God didn't create the heavens and earth, right? The world is eternal and uncreated. It's always existed. You can have God if you like it, but, you know, God didn't actually create the world. So that's one approach that you can take. And that would answer the question, but Augustine says that one's not really going to work. He says, those who wish to make out that the world is eternal and without beginning, was not made by God, are deceived and rave in the incurable madness of impiety. And he says, how do we know this? Well, we can look at the world itself and see that it had to be made by something, and it wasn't auto-generating, you could say. And this isn't a very strong argument, but it's the argument that he makes there. Then he goes on and he raises another issue, and he's got another strange sort of solution to this. He says, well, you could have a world that is caused by God, but was never created at any moment in time, but never came to be. It has a creational but not temporal beginning. And this isn't that far away from what he's actually going to endorse. But the idea is that in a certain way, the world would also be eternal, but it would still stem back to God. And he says, this isn't going to work. And he provides this rather convoluted argument about the co-eternality of souls and blessedness and misery. And I'm actually going to skip over that argument because I don't think it's particularly germane here. If we accept that there is a temporal creation, that is, that God creates the world in some sense in time, at a point in time, then we can ask this question. Well, why that point in time? Why not earlier? If it was a good thing to create the world, why wait around? Did God need to sit around and plan it all out in his head and play with some options or anything like that? Presumably not, because God is God, right? I mean, we would do that. If we're rational, we would sit down before we build a house and say, what materials am I going to need? But that doesn't work for creation. So Augustine says, Here's where things are mistaken. There's an assumption being made that there's these eternal gulfs of time before God creates. And why eternal or infinite gulfs of time? Well, because God has always existed. And so however long it's been, and you couldn't even really say how long it's been, before the creation of the world, you've got an infinite amount of time, right? And so why not here? Why not here? Why not here? And he says, this assumption is actually wrong. And it's similar, he says, to assumptions that are being made by other people. For example, some of the Epicureans of the time that are saying that there's like infinite spaces, and the space that we're in, the universe that we're in, is just one within all these possible spaces, or perhaps not even possible, perhaps actual. And he says that they imagine infinite spaces of time before the world, during which God could not have been idle. In like manner, they can conceive outside the world infinite realms of space, which if anyone says the omnipotent cannot hold his hand from working, will it not follow they must adopt Epicurus' dream of innumerable worlds? With this difference only, he asserts they're formed and destroyed by the fortuitous movements of atoms, and they'll say they're formed by God's hand. So why did God create this world at this point in time in this spot? Augustine says that's a mistaken way of looking at it. God didn't create it in this spot. This spot is what he created. God didn't create it at this point in time when creation occurred. That's when time began. So it does have a temporal beginning, creation, but it doesn't have a temporal, you could say, precedence. There's no time before it. And why is this the case? Augustine is saying, if we think about the nature of time, what is time? You know, we often picture to ourselves this line that we use with past, present, future, and we have different ways of depicting it to ourselves, like maybe we're facing into the future and moving into it. Right? You notice we have to use spatial metaphors in order to understand time. Or we're looking back in memory at the past. And the past doesn't really exist, neither does the future, and the present is just this tiny little sliver, but we depict it to ourselves as this thing moving forward into the future. All these little moments comprised, right? Again, we spatialize time, as many philosophers have pointed out to us. But how are we doing that? How are we depicting time to ourselves? What we require in order to do that is some sort of change or movement. We cannot conceptualize and depict time without depending on something changing. So, you know, think about your watch if you have one. Think about the old traditional one with the hands. You watch the hand going around. That's movement. Or if it's a water clock, you watch the little droplets of water or an hourglass, right? We measure time in that way. Or Augustine has examples in this and in the Confessions and other places, thinking about syllables. How long is the word dog? Right? That's a short syllable. Now, if we're speaking in a different dialect where it has a massive diphthong, daug, right? Now it's a longer word, and we could use that to measure things. But we're doing that precisely because things are changing. Things are remaining the same, but also changing. They're going from one state to another. That's how we understand time. So if there isn't anything to change, there is no time. So what was God doing before, you know, was he twiddling his thumbs? Was he thinking to himself and, you know, sort of playing with his beard or something like that before the world began? No, God wasn't doing anything. When God decided to create the universe, given this sort of Christian metaphysics, the universe came into being and time and space both began at that point. So it did have a temporal beginning, but not in the same way that a lot of other people think, where there's time before time begins or the world begins. The world begins, and now at the very same time that the world begins, there is time. Meanwhile, even using the word meanwhile doesn't quite fit here, right? God exists in an unchanging eternity, according to Augustine. So there wasn't any before God created the world. There is God, who exists in a certain sense before the world, right? But there's no measure for that. And for God, because God exists in eternity, which encompasses all times and transcends all times at the same time, a little bit of a pun there, it's not as if God has a before and an after himself or itself or whatever God happens to be. So Augustine here is providing us with a way of understanding in a very metaphysical framework what this scriptural phrase, "in the beginning God created the heavens and earth," is supposed to mean. The beginning is literally the beginning of everything that is not God, including the beginning of space and the beginning of time. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.